Hey everyone, this is Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio, and as always, I'm here to interview guests that have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. We have a really interesting topic today, which is on leadership, and I think as advisors that when we're running our own offices or part of someone else's office, we can be so busy with focusing on our clients or focusing on compliance or trying to just get things done throughout the day that typically we don't pause to think about how we're showing up as leaders, whether that's leaders for our team that we're working with, leaders for our clients. And it's really important for us to do that, to think of our businesses as bigger businesses and how we're out there as leaders. And we have a perfect guest today to have that conversation. Our guest is Rob Holman, and Rob is an internationally recognized leadership expert. He's an executive coach, keynote speaker, and author who has a heart for authentic relationships and a true talent for equipping people with the skills and knowledge necessary for success. You'll see in a little bit that Rob has this incredible passion and exuberance. I feel like I'm a pretty high energy, optimistic person. And when I have conversations with Rob, I like step it up a level. He's probably the most energetic person I've talked to, certainly in the past month. I can't think of anyone who's higher energy than Rob. And he's, because of this energy, he's got this incredible dynamic teaching style, and he's been successfully coaching and leading business owners, executives, and leaders through his proprietary method that he calls Inside Out Leadership Coaching. He's run lots of businesses. He's founded numerous organizations, both in the for-profit and nonprofit world. And currently, he's the founder and CEO of Holman International, a global leadership consultancy revolutionizing the way business leaders operate. A fun fact about Rob is that he also used to be a professional basketball player. So welcome, Rob. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Ellen, it's great to be with you. And yes, I am high energy. I have a lot of passion. And I only have one cup of regular coffee a day. The rest of the day, it's herbal teas, decafs, and just a whole lot of water.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine if you had more caffeine than that. It would be a problem. But yay, thank you so much for being here. So I was fascinated by a statistic you shared with me that through a Deloitte University Press 2014 survey that nearly 90% of workers who were interviewed admitted that they were not excited about their careers. And business owners and leaders, what you would think like, oh gosh, we're doing our own thing, you'd think that would be much better, but it was only 80% of them also said they weren't excited about their careers. So what do you think's going on with this? What's this about?
Yeah, great question. There's a lot of people, there's a disengagement problem. Whether, you know, there's just a very small business, maybe a couple people, or there's a lot more people involved, there's a disengagement problem. And here's how I'll define disengagement. People that are not as purposeful and passionate about what they do day in and day out. And so, with those statistics, quite alarming. I mean, if you think of the average worker, let alone the individual leading those average workers, who aren't too far behind, so there's a major problem that's out there. And I don't know about you, but whenever I identify a problem, I want to do something about it. And so I have really dedicated my life to do something about that very problem. And I think that the problem in large part, it's like a lot of leaders, they know there's a problem that exists. A lot of money's being thrown at that problem. But, what is exactly being thrown at that problem? Because it doesn't seem to be working terribly well. And here's what I found, that a lot of leaders, they're trying the latest and greatest motivational techniques and strategies to better impact and lead people. But what I want to propose is a different way, and dare I say, even a better way to engage about it. Instead of trying to go from the outside, trying to get in, why don't we begin in the inside and let that work itself out? And so that's what I call inside out leadership.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more, and I think you're complimenting a lot of small business owners to say that they're trying the latest and greatest ways to engage people. I don't even know that a lot of us have even any awareness on the fact that that's something we should be doing until it's a problem. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit more about better ways to transform a workplace culture and boost engagement.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. The average worker, let's say you're it. Let's just say there's just a worker, and or you might have another person or two on your team. So many people are wearing multiple hats. The sales hat, the marketing hat, the operations hat, the technology hat, so on and so forth. And it's very easy with a one-person show or a very small team to be stretched way too thin because you're wearing multiple hats and you're not able to really focus on one particular area, terribly well because you're surrounded and swimming in all these other areas. So that results in being stressed out and on edge, and you're just trying to stay afloat, and many people are actually drowning in that place and don't even fully realize it, to your point. So what I love to do is, as enticing as it is to work on things on the outside, let's start with you as the leader. If we can learn to lead ourselves effectively first, then whatever we put our hands and feet to day in and day out, whether it is to lead another person, maybe you're it, and you've got to put on the sales hat or the marketing hat. But out of what place are we doing so? So I call this, it's almost like the timeout for the leader themselves. A lot of times with kids, we give them a timeout and put them on the steps, if they're misbehaving. This is a healthy timeout. This is pushing the pause button for you because you matter and you can only give what you got. And sadly, so many people are giving to other people, serving other people, just out of a place that's either they're running on fumes, if not burnout already. So I'm going to give all the listeners a healthy timeout to say, you matter, I care about you, so let's learn to lead yourself from the inside out today.
Okay, so before we get into what does that really mean to lead from the inside out, is there a different, maybe you can clarify the difference between inside out leadership and outside in leadership?
Yeah. So, all right, there's a lot of outside things that people can do trying to get the inside. So I'll give you an example. This is kind of a fun example. It's a true difference between inspiration and motivation. Motivation, for instance, right? We're motivated in the world in which we live. We're motivated by different things all the time. Some are positive motivations and some are negative. For instance, there's a negative motivation to stay the speed limit when you're traveling because, you better stay the speed limit. If not, you're going to get a ticket. So most people are motivated to stay within the speed limit so that they don't get a ticket. Another illustration more in the workplace is, let's say you work for someone and you're waiting, you're waiting for that incentive and the, a little increase in pay or something like that. That could be an outside motivation, like an increase of pay if you do a good job. So therefore, you're going to do a much better job so you get that paycheck. In a sense, these are outside or exterior things trying to get into the heart of the matter. And they can make some positive difference. Here's what I found, though. In many cases, it might be more immediate to short-term positive difference. But if you look back in the long term, it's not the impact that we truly want to have on ourselves and on other people. So it's an attitude of the heart. I'm more about inspiration than motivation. I just described more motivating things that people do or people are accustomed to, etc. Inspiration, think of it this way. Have you ever seen a really inspirational movie or talked to a highly inspirational person? And you can't help but that movie or that person to rub off on you. And in a sense, you're compelled from the inside to do something, to act. Not because you have to or you ought to, because you'd be punished otherwise, or even a positive reinforcement to get money or to get something. But now you're compelled out of this deep, authentic, dare I say, transparent place. And it leads you to action. You're compelled to act. And thus, there's long-term and lasting fruit that comes from it.
So how do you, so what are some of the things you can do to start to be a leader from the inside out? I mean, what you painted a beautiful picture, who wouldn't want that? Like really so excited and so inspired to do your best work, that certainly feels better than some external motivation. And I think really important conversation, because most of what I see talked about in the financial services industry are external motivators and usually financial ones. And what I found is that they're not motivating, right? So a certain dollar amount to make, or assets under management, or number of new clients. And we've always taught all through our careers that that's what you should be focusing on. And what I see in the work I do and the speaking I do is that that is not, for most people, the vast majority of people, something that is really, it's not even motivating. It might be motivating, it's certainly not inspirational.
Yeah.
So what are some suggestions to shift from that external focus to more of an internal focus?
Yeah, I think it's really important to, so much in life, it's all about perspective. And perspective, sometimes the smallest perspective shift can change how we view ourselves, thus how we view other people. And I think I mentioned this before very briefly, but we can only give what we got. So if we again, push the pause button on our own lives and take a look at, you know, what's my perspective? Is it relatively healthy? Do I have a healthy perspective about myself, about who I am as a person, about the work that I do day in and day out? And here's what I found. There are subtle perspective shifts that make a world of difference. Let me give you an example. Do you know there's a difference between, I already mentioned one earlier, difference between inspiration and motivation, right? You know, inspiration, there's great vibrancy and long-term sustainability personally that comes out of that place. Thus, we can impact people in large part in what we do day in and day out. Another one is there's a difference between self-discovery and self-help. A lot of times, leaders, you know, and leading yourself first, a lot of times we're trying to become a better me. I'm trying to become a better me. If I can, it's like Humpty Dumpty rhyme. You know, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, Humpty Dumpty, you know, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. It's like, I feel like we're trying to strive to put ourselves back together again. But here I'm here to say there's no need as much for self-help. I'm more of an advocate for self-discovery. That if we can actually begin to look deep on the inside of us, that we in fact have seeds of greatness that are on the inside of us. And if we can find those seeds of greatness, like how we're wired, how we're knit together, how we think, that's unique and significant apart from 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. And if we can begin to take a closer look at our own personal self-exploration, I call it self-discovery, then there's no need to try to put yourself back together again. Because now we start to enter into this place of a newness, and in that there's anticipation, there's expectancy of walking into the place of who I was truly designed, truly created to be. So it's all about perspective. If we could begin going from self-discovery as opposed to self-help, inspiration as opposed to motivation. And another one is this: a lot of people put expectations on themselves, you know, and unfortunately they're very unhealthy expectations. I would rather live my life having expectancy, but not having hard expectations on myself. Again, another subtle kind of perspective shift that makes and means a world of difference. For instance, if I begin to live my life with an expectancy of every day I awake, that there's good things, doors to open in front of me, new people to meet, new opportunities to come to pass, new self-discovery process. Now I'm going to go about that day out of a place of gratitude, out of a place of abundance, out of a place of a high anticipation of what's to come in a good way, as opposed to playing out my day before it even fully comes to pass. And I got everything nailed down. See, that's expectation. I'd rather live a life of expectancy. So what you're hearing me say, Ellen, in the midst of all this is, when we, and this is a true foundation of inside out leadership, when we can begin to have a higher perspective out on ourselves, now we can be authentic, we can be real, we can be transparent with ourselves. Now, as we begin to put our hands and feet to whatever we do day in and day out, whether it's, you know, wealth advisor, you're a small business owner, you have great influence, now we can make such a big impact and have such a level of influence. And as a natural result of that, there's going to be tremendous positive fruit all around us.
So in terms of self-discovery versus self-help, What are some, is there a series of questions someone can ask themselves, or what is some recommended tools for deeper self-discovery in this idea of being a leader from the inside out?
A lot of self-discovery comes down to purpose. You know, I think the average person, the average leader, in leading yourself, I think whether subconsciously or consciously, we've all asked this question, not just once, but a number of times. Why do I exist on this planet? Why am I here, really? And I think at the very essence of self-discovery is beginning to answer that question. Why am I here? Not even like, what do I do and how can I be more effective in what I do? We'll get to that. That's more exterior, right? But on the inside, working from the inside out, why am I here? Purpose is the big million-dollar question. Here's what I've found. Five things to help you discover your unique purpose and live according to it. And I'll even say this before I get into these five things. It's more important if you want to truly identify your purpose and live according to it, you need to understand who you are as an individual. Who you are, your uniqueness, your significance. So I'm going to help with five practical things to help you unveil, you know, truly who you are, so you can be encouraged and you can be edified and you could really be built up in a healthy way. If you want to understand who you are, that leads to why you're here. Number one, what are your personal life milestones? The life milestones, the things good, bad, and different, the things that have shaped you to become the person you are today, sitting here, standing here, whatever you're doing right now. What are those things that have shaped you to such a degree? Not all easy, but have given you and a huge part of the purpose of why you're here, why you're living, why you're breathing. That number one. Secondly is, what are your personal core values? The things that are extremely important to you, core convictions of the heart, the things that you stand firm in, that you stand by, that you're making decisions out of all day long and may not fully realize it. Third, what are your greatest and top strengths? Natural talents, the things that come a little easier to you ever since you were a kid. And when you're doing them, when you're actively doing them, they make you come a bit more alive. And again, there's an ease to it. There's a joy as it relates to it. And there's a lot of fruit that comes from it as well. Fourth, what are your greatest passions? The things that just have you leaping out of bed in the morning. You know, I say this, it's like when people are getting ready for a vacation, you know, they don't even have to hit the snooze button on the alarm clock. Matter of fact, they don't even have to even deal with the alarm clock. They're usually up much earlier than they normally are because they're so excited to engage in that vacation spot. See, passion areas are very similar in our life. What hobby, what things at work, what things deep in your heart, deep in your soul, deep in your mind are you just impassioned by? That when you do these things, you come alive and you make other people come alive that are in your midst. And the fifth and final area, what is your primary gift in life? And gifts that we've been given since the moment we were brought into this world, they're not meant for us, they're actually meant for other people. And I believe that we all have multiple gifts, but we may have a primary gift. You know, something that you were given that you know is not meant for you to keep all by yourself. It's meant for you to utilize, to impact, to influence, to inspire people that you come across day in and day out. So that when you're no longer here anymore, it's a legacy you leave behind on the earth. And I find when we really start to dive into those five practical areas, it helps us in our self-discovery process. And on the coattails of that, when we're affirmed and encouraged in who we truly are, now we can start to ask the question, okay, why am I really here? And I'll tell you, Ellen, that question of why we're really here, it'll make a whole lot more sense when we truly define who we are. And I'll say this too, that when we start to address and answer that question of why am I here, you know, I always have people take a look at this. What is something in this world that when you hear it, you come across it, you read about it, you talk to another person about it, that maybe it's an injustice, there's a problem out there, that when you come across it, it drives you up the wall. That in the deepest places of who you are, you say, as long as I'm living, as long as I'm on this earth, I've got to do something about this. And you can see now, your self-discovery process leads you to a place of truly embracing your purpose, which now, you're talking about leading from the inside out, this is the place where you are now on fire, and you can give what you got, and people are bound to catch on fire all around you. And so when you lead yourself first in this kind of a way, now you go about your work out of a different lens, out of a different perspective, and begin influencing, even if it's just yourself or one other person, in a pretty dynamic way.
I was at a conference last week, and a woman who I know well, and we see each other a few times a year at different conferences, told me she had just heard this quote, and it seems so perfectly synchronistic for our conversation right now. It's by Mark Twain, and it says, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." And it's really everything that you were talking about, purpose. I was smiling as you were going through your definition of, like, why am I here? And I, for the last, 11 years, when I don't journal every single day, but when I do journal, I always start, my first prompt is, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And then I start writing and I ask more specific questions. What specifically today do I need to handle? And so I'm glad that in your expert opinion, I'm asking the right questions for this. And I found personally, the more that those questions are being asked, sometimes it's come self-evident super quickly. And then sometimes there's just little clues that you find along the way that all of a sudden puts the picture together. Greatest strengths and natural talents. I talk about people finding their superpower in business. So, like, the thing that you do better than anyone else in our specific business, and that might be a clue to some of this. And I have gotten increasingly clear that my superpower, my unique strength, is I help people feel really calm about their money. People tell me all the time after they've been in my office that I feel so much better. You know, I've been playing with this idea for many years, but I find that, you know, when you can answer some of these questions, and I love that you have really a whole process to take people through in this, and it's also a matter of keep asking them because the puzzle pieces seem to fit together a little bit better.
They do. I'm going to share this with you if you allow me to. The temptation for any business owner, leader out there, is to dive right into their business. See, here's the temptation is, wow, I got to find out why my business exists. Why I'm, why am I really a financial advisor? Why am I doing that? And that's a great question to ask. But I found that question is better addressed when we actually start with ourselves as the leader first, personally. See, because our business is a person legally, in many regards, right? And so we have a chance to mentor our business, the person. It's kind of a funny way to look at it, but we spend time with our business. We spend time, we influence, we mentor our business. We look at, we help our business. We come alongside of our business. We take care of things within the business. So if you view your business as a person that you're spending time with and you're influencing day in and day out, wow, if I focus on myself and I lead myself and I understand my personal purpose and am led according to that, now as I look at my business through that lens and I begin to mentor my business and have influence on my business, now the purpose for our business becomes more and more clear. And I think things can get, really, really powerful out of that place.
Makes so much sense. And I'm reminded of, so in 2002, for people that are listening that were in business then, they may recall it was another recession. The markets were down 17% that year. And because of this shift in perspective that I had in my business grew 39% that year. And the shift for me really relates to many of the things you were talking about, looking at my primary gift. Which is, I love that you said it's really meant for others, because my shift in perspective that year, and it sounds so super obvious now, but I really moved from thinking about all the goals I'd been focusing on before that, like I said before, assets under management and revenue, and shifting it to, wow, how can I really be of service to people? I mean, this was a year after 9/11. It was, people were really scared, oh, yeah. Right? It wasn't looking back as bad as 2008 in some ways, but it was in terms of the recession, but it was a really scary time. We'd come out of many years of just up markets. And when I shifted from, wow, like, what's this going to mean for my business, to people are so scared right now, I can really be of service, they need me more than ever, my business grew substantially. So these are not only what you're suggesting, I can say from personal experience, isn't just ways to feel better and feel more grounded. They absolutely translate into really sound business strategies.
That's good, Ellen. And I, you know, you mentioned what's one really important part of Inside Out leadership, and we've been talking about, it's all about perspective. And you're bringing a real case scenario of how impacted you personally were, and then the impact, obviously, that had on your business. Another huge foundation of Inside Out leadership is redefining success. And I think if we're not careful, we can easily just start be pulled by the current of allowing our culture, the world, and industry to define success for us. I've just said, you know what, with this whole leading yourself first thing, why not allow you as the leader to define success for yourself? You know, and all of a sudden you take the bull by the horns and say, you know what, based on the things that truly matter to me, the influence I ultimately want to have, how would I define success? And before long, now you are in control of things and not allowing culture and industry and marketplace just purely like just pull you in a certain direction. And I, you know, man, if you just start to have certain perspective shifts, and it's all about perspective, and you start to redefine success for you based on your heart, your mind, you know, where you are, where you ultimately want to go, some amazing things can come out of that place as well. And that's another huge foundation.
I think it's a crucially important question to ask, especially for our industry, because we're money people. There can be a tendency to equate the financial parts to equaling success. And that can be part of it for someone, but I love the broader question here. I mean, maybe success is time off or travel or time with family or really being meaningful with your clients. And I love that question because it seems to me, and tell me if this has been your experience, Rob, that having that definition leads to a whole different way of doing business and leading.
It sure does. Because again, when you're led by the heart, this is the inside part. When you're led by the heart, you lead out of a different place. You're going to interact with people out of a different place. It leads to authenticity, a level of transparency. Who doesn't want to be around someone that's real, that's authentic, that, you know, that is easily, you know, you become easily related to? I mean, people love to relate to people. They love to be around people that they're not feeling like they're too buttoned up and trying to be someone who they're truly not, but they're comfortable in their own skin. There's a level of confidence, not cockiness, but a level of confidence of who they are, why they're here, how they can best serve, how they can best help. So out of a place of redefining success, the tentacles that just go on every different aspect of your life, very far reaching, very far. And the impact, is quite amazing. So, yeah.
It's such an important, relationship conversation. I mean, you're talking about, you know, coming from the heart and really, interacting with other people. Before the show today, I was reading some newsletter that ended up in my email box about how advisors really have to focus on the relationship and not just talk about investments. And I'm looking at this thing thinking, why is this article even being written? Like, don't people know this? It was actually shocking to me. And I guess it's an indication of no, like the money conversation is the one that many advisors are used to having. And everything you're talking about is not only important for being happier and more successful, but it's going to be crucial. Our industry is going through some big transformations in terms of how fees are being charged and regulatory changes. And I want to say a little bit sadly that kind of conversation needs to be happening, but it's crucial for advisors to know how important that is. I suspect those advisors that really need to know that aren't listening right now because they're on the, they're only listening to the economic reports and not how to grow themselves. But we'll put that energy out there for them. Maybe they'll stumble upon this podcast in case.
That's good. I do want to share one other very quick thing. I, I think a huge part of just understanding yourself and leading yourself, you know, we've talked about so much already, but owning your story, your personal story. And, you know, when an advisor is sitting across the table from someone, and maybe for the first time, and they set up that meeting with them, and maybe some of the nerves are there, and they want to jump into their presentation, and they want to, you know, because they really want them as a client. I mean, come on, right? I've found one of the most profound things to do is the more that we own our own personal story and are comfortable and confident in sharing so, we can then turn the tables and say, I really want to get to know you. Like, can you share some things about your story, some highlights, some things that have led you up to you sitting down with me today? And this exchange, Ellen, of personal story to personal story. Now, see, now we're sharing in life together. And you're talking about bonding and rapport and connection and trust being built and fostered and developed where it has a chance to just blow up in a great way. I think the art of sharing your story and listening to the other person's story is just invaluable. And I think that we lose that sometimes because we're so, you know, our hearts can even be in the right place, but we're, again, a little bit more from the outside trying to get in, right? We want that end result. We want that goal. We want that that prospect to become a client. And we're a little nervous in the process. And I'm here to say today, I want to encourage all that are listening. You know, the more that you understand who you are, again, I'm going to get back to that. You never stray too far from your core. The more that you understand who you are and why you're here, you begin embracing your story. And who doesn't love a good story? And someone who's listening across the table, on the other line, you know, on the other end of the email or social media, however we're connecting with them, they're going to be much more inclined to begin to share their story. And that's when, in my opinion, that's where genuine relationship is storytelling and sharing of story. It's like sitting by the bonfire, cooking out together and being real. And that's, as a natural result of that, I have found the most profound business deals and influence in people's lives just come out of that place.
That's perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Rob. And for all those of you listening out there that would like to take a deeper dive into really exploring your own purpose, leading from the inside out, Rob, where should they go to connect with you?
Yeah, great question. I'd say probably two resources. One would be my own personal website, which is robholman.com. And that's Rob's.
Rob with two B's.
I'll tell you, I was really teased in elementary school quite a bit with Rob with two B's, but I've gotten really comfortable in my own skin, like I've said, so I'm doing pretty good now with that. But so I would say robholman.com. And then another one is, you know, I have a book called Lead the Way, and if you go to leadthewaybook.com, and I really just share about the Inside Out leadership process as a guide to help people very practically. So.
That's great. Thank you so much. And again, it's Rob Holman, R-O-B-B, two B's, H-O-L-M-A-N.com. You can find out more about Rob there and grab his book, Lead the Way book. I just am so grateful for you sharing Inside Out Leadership and this beautiful conversation about purpose.
Ellen,
thank you so much, Rob.
I look forward to continuing the dialogue and conversation because you're one of those individuals, just the couple times we've got a chance to talk, that I want to spend more time with because of your heart and your mind. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Great. And for all you listening, thank you so much. We're so grateful to have you here. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can find us if you search Horse's Mouth on your favorite podcast programs, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher. We're here with all sorts of great resources for you. And you know that I'm so excited about helping you in any way I can to grow your business. And so there's more information at ellenrogan.com/whatclientscrave. There's a free report that I have for you and would love to connect. Let us know what you're thinking, what you think about the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. And remember, be great and create great every single day.